Time now to say hello to Terry Flanagan, who joins us as always from his home in Dublin 15. Terence, what's it all about this week?
Well, as you know, Derek, the Natural History Museum, or the Dead Zoo as we know it, has been closed for some time now for renovations and refurbishments. And it'll be some time before it's open to the public again. But Derek, have you ever wondered where all the animals are while this work has been done?
Well, now that you mention it, Terry, I haven't, but where are they?
They've all been taken out and put into a massive storage facility.
I see.
There, they'll be fully inspected for any damage. Mm-hmm. They'll have any parasites removed. And then they'll be fully cleaned before they go back on display in the museum. Recently, I met curator Emma Murphy at this site, and she showed me around some of the collection and also explained what was happening there.
Come on over here, Terry, I'll show you these.
Wow, that's some set of antlers. In fact, there's two sets there. What are they?
These are reindeer antlers that were found in Ireland.
They're massive. They're much bigger than I thought they would be.
Oh, yeah, you can see.
Can I touch them?
You can, yes.
Okay. They're actually, it's bone. It's not mineralised.
No, these are what we would term subfossils. So they haven't turned to stone yet. They are still bone material.
Now, we're out here in North County Dublin. We're in the Natural History Museum, but it's not open to the public. This is your storeroom.
Yeah, so this is a store that's dedicated to the collections of the National Museum of Ireland and the National Monument Service. And at the moment, because our Merrion Street Museum is undergoing a capital project for refurbishment, we've had to empty the museum and all of the animals are here, tucked up safely while we're closed.
Now, when I walked in, first of all, I had to walk hundreds of metres to get to you here. And walking along, it was just full of all kinds of artefacts.
Yeah, indeed. The collections are pretty vast. We like to say in natural history that at any one time when Merrion Street was fully open on four floors, we had about 10,000 objects on display. But here in stores, we have over 2 million individually registered objects in natural history alone. Most of those are insects, though, so they don't take up too much space.
Yeah, but that's an incredible number. Why do you keep so many?
You can think of the Natural History Museum as the original biobank. So we preserve these items, these specimens, scientific specimens, in perpetuity, so forever. Our job is to keep the moths and the light and the ravages of time away from the collections, so scientists and, of course, everyone can use them for their research and can learn more about the natural world. So the longer we keep them, it's basically like having a time machine. So researchers from all around the world come here to sample and to take measurements and to look at these animals and compare them to perhaps what's in the wild today. And doing so, they can maybe prove things like climate change, air quality, changes in animal populations and diets and things like that, and ranges. And the only way we can prove that they existed in a place is if you keep the specimen as the kind of living, formerly living proof of that animal.
And there are lots of scientists in here today. There must be 10 or 20 different scientists in here studying these old, old animals.
So we've a mixed team, obviously, on this site from all the different museums. But at the moment, we've been lucky to have some staff join us for this decant project to empty the museum. And at the moment, they are assessing all of the animals that came out of the museum, kind of like a hospital triage. So they're having a look at them and seeing, oh, well, maybe they might need a bit of care, extra care and attention while they're off display. They'll certainly need to be cleaned because they're rather dusty and dirty. And then we can make plans, of course, for finding out a bit more about the history of these specimens and developing some really interesting information for the public when we put them back into the museum.
Now, we're in the mammal section now. You're involved with mammals. Can we have a little walk around? Because you've opened some of the cases here for me to see. What are these over here?
Well, come over here and I'll just show you some of the larger hoofed animals that we have up here.
Okay, so we're over here. Okay, so looking in here now, first thing I see is a zebra.
Yeah, this is a zebra that's been in the collection since the 1800s. It's quite a big specimen, and I can say it's very heavy because we had quite a job to get it out of its case in Merrion Street and get it out of the building safely.
And looking down further, I see it looks like, is it a walrus or a sea lion down here? Can we move down and have a look at that?
Yeah, so down here we have a Cape fur seal. So they're called fur seals, but they are in fact part of the sea lion family, as you say, Terry. You can tell that by their external ears that you
just
can see.
Just looking at it here, it's tiny, isn't it? The ear, in relation to the size of the animal, the ear is tiny.
Yeah, their ears are very small. And of course, that in its own way is an adaptation so they don't lose too much heat when they're in the water, you know.
Can we move down here? I just see here on a shelf down here underneath is a grey wolf. It's beautiful.
Yeah, this is a really beautiful piece of taxidermy from Boughton on Zoon. Came to the museum in the 2000s. This wolf is from Northern Europe. It's a very large specimen, not as large as the ones you'll find in North America, the timber wolves, but it is very similar to the type of wolf we would have had in Ireland, and that's why it was procured for a display.
I've been up to Wild Ireland up in Donegal and I've seen the wolves up there with Killian McLaughlin. Yeah. They're majestic animals and just to listen to them roar is wonderful.
Yeah, the howling is really magical. Anyone in Dublin who maybe goes through the Phoenix Park in the evening will know that sound. It's a really haunting sound, the wolves howling. And of course, they do it for social bonding and for territory defence and stuff like that.
And that's because those wolves, they're in the zoo. They're not in the park.
They are in the zoo. They're not in the park. Yeah, exactly. Thank God.
Okay, can I move over here to this one over here? Yeah. Because this looks like an old specimen that was stuffed a long, long time ago. It's an otter with a fish in its mouth.
Yeah, so this is what we call a diorama in the museum. So it's where
can you explain that?
Yeah, it's where animals have been. This is a family group of otters who have been stuffed to look as if they are displaying natural behaviours in life. So they're in this display which is showing kind of a riverbank with kind of long grasses and things. And then you can see the remains of the last fish supper they've had. And one of them, the mammy, is bringing back a fish for her young.
I remember this on display in the museum in Merrion Square. It was on the ground floor, I think. But looking at it here now, it seems to have been cleaned up. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so part of this big capital refurbishment project, there's been some budget set aside for caring for these objects, because a lot of them have been on display a very long time, at times been in full sunlight and things like that, and they may have become faded. And certainly we've had a bit of a battle with clothes moths and carpet beetles and things like that, which really like to eat the taxidermy collections in the museum. So now they're off display. They've all been frozen first to kill any beasties that might be living in there. And then these otters and many of the other objects are getting really specialist attention from specialist conservators who work with natural history materials. And they have fully cleaned these dioramas and basically just giving them a nice bit of care and attention so they're ready and look their best when they go back on display to the public.
And how long do you have this specimen for?
This diorama itself was commissioned purposely for the museum to fit into the cases that we had on the ground floor. So we commissioned a few different family groups at the same time: badgers, foxes, otters, pine martens, hares. And the idea is to obviously to bring wildlife to the people, because it can be very hard to see animals in the wild. And the best way for you to, I guess, fall in love with wildlife is to be able to see it up close. And they came from a taxidermy firm called Williams & Son on Dame Street, which was a very well-regarded taxidermy firm in Ireland at that time.
The one thing I noticed having walked around here today is the smell of the naphthalene. God, that brings me back years.
Some of our collections, particularly our bird collections and our insect collections, have historically been treated with naphthalene, which is the stuff that we all know from mothballs. You know, if your grandparents or your mum might have had mothballs in the drawers with the jumpers and stuff. And the reason we would have used it in the past was for exactly the same reason. It's to try and keep the clothes moths and things away from the specimens. We don't use it anymore, but the smell is very strong to the human nose. The human nose can actually detect naphthalene in extremely small concentrations, and it obviously persists in the wooden cabinets and stuff, which is why the smells so strong to us.
Now, as I said, we're not in Merrion Square because it's closed for renovation at the moment. When do you hope to move back?
This large capital refurbishment, I suppose, is something that we're trying to plan really well. We actually only finished emptying the animals out of the museum in April, although I know to everyone and to myself as well, it feels like we've been closed a very long time. But it takes a long time to pack up all these unique specimens very carefully and empty them from the museum. We are reaching the next stage of the project and we're looking forward to starting to think about how we can make the building more accessible to more people. And It's a very old building, I will say. So
it's a beautiful building.
It's a stunning building, and it is a purpose-built museum building. The foundation stone was laid in 1856, and it's something we really want to keep the character, of course, of the building. It's a listed building, and the cases are all going to remain the same. But we do have some wiggle room thinking about how we might display objects and give people more depth of engagement if they want to learn more about some of the animals that they're seeing with, as they walk around.
Well, I, for one, can't wait to get back in because it's my favourite museum in the whole world.
It's mine too, Terry. I actually went to Montessori school around the corner from the museum back in the early 1990s. And I remember being in the museum on the top floor when the balconies were open and lifting the leather covers to look at the tarantulas. And it was absolutely such a beautiful place. And we're looking forward to reopening those upper floors and making the museum fully accessible to everyone once again.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry.